That'll be easier. Morning, everybody. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we do thank you again that we have this community, and we thank you that we live in a place where we can meet in freedom. We do ask that you'll be right here with us and that we'll hear you speaking to us. Amen. Hang on. Usual caveat. I put this up every time I speak because I think it's important to remember that I am just a human being and that I could be wrong and that all human beings can be wrong. All human beings, ever since the first human beings were created, not only can be wrong, there are times when they will be wrong. That may be particularly important today, I'm not sure. I'm not actually going to talk about Jeremiah. This is supposed to be the second in our series on Jeremiah, but while I was preparing it, I started thinking a lot about prophets and prophecy, which is not surprising when you're preparing a sermon on Jeremiah, and started thinking that maybe it would be good to actually have a session which is actually about prophets and prophecy, a really a practical session where we can say, how does God speak to us through other people today, be those people, Jeremiah, or the person who's sitting next to us at church, or the person who's standing up at church? How does God actually speak to us? How can we be sure that God is actually speaking to us? These are really fundamental questions which need to be addressed, I think. There is a lot of prophecy in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. There's also a lot of teaching about prophecy, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we're going to talk about that, not just biblical prophecy. We're also going to be talking about, should we expect prophets to arise in our church? Are there prophets among us? Are there prophets of doom among us? Or are there other kinds of prophets among us? I think the answer to that question is yes. We'll come on to that. First, we must answer one very simple question, which is, what is a prophet? The Oxford English Dictionary tells us that a prophet is an inspired teacher or proclaimer of the will of God. I actually looked reading what Wikipedia said about prophets, and I thought this is rather wordy, but I thought this was rather good. In religion, a prophet is an individual regarded as being in contact with a divine being and said to speak on that entity's behalf. Got that? The prophet is in touch with God and speaks on God's behalf, serving as an intermediary with humanity by delivering messages or teachings from the supernatural source to other people. So a prophet is someone through whom God speaks to others, not necessarily someone who foretells the future. That can be... Claire?
No, can I share the Godly Clay definition, because it's just so lovely?
Go on.
In Godly Clay we say a prophet is someone who comes so close to God and God comes so close to them that they know what is most important.
I like that. Like that very much. Just going on with the Wikipedia one. Prophets are traditionally regarded as having a role in society that promotes change due to their messages. Very important. Prophets, I'll come back to that. Often conveying God's displeasure concerning the behaviour of the people, the eventual demise of their societal cultural system as a whole. That very much is describing Jeremiah. He came along and said, things are awful, there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to be really bad. However, Jeremiah, in his message, and as with so many prophets, there was comfort. This is not going to last forever. God will bring you back. God will look after you. You are important to God. He loves you. That kind of a message is, I think, always present. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's always present. How can we decide whether biblical prophets are speaking to us today? This is such an interesting question. One of the biblical prophets, Moses, said, this is what God says, go into Canaan and kill everybody. Is this a message for us today? I think we'd probably agree that it's not a message for us today. As a complete aside, I was actually reading something the other day, and I realized that command also comes in Numbers, and in Numbers he doesn't say go into Canaan and kill everybody. He says go into Canaan and push everybody out, chase them out of the country. So that's total aside, I do apologise. This is a fundamental question for us. If we take it as read that God speaks to us through our Bibles, and we certainly should, then we must ask, how does God speak to us through our Bibles? How do we take a particular bit of prophecy from the Old Testament and say, yes, God is speaking to that? How do I read a passage in the Bible and say, is God speaking to me through this? How do I answer that question? If I read a passage in the Bible and it seems to speak to me strongly, and I say to myself, I think God might be speaking to me through this, or possibly, if it was my case, God might be speaking to me through this, but he wants me to tell other people in the church this message, or possibly in the day that we live now, possibly he wants me to share this with the world through the internet. How can I be sure? I want to suggest that there are two tests that we can apply to any passage to try and answer that question. There may well maybe more than two. Two is going to be plenty for today. These two are consistency and community. Consistency, you're looking at a passage, I'm reading a passage in the Bible and I'm saying, is God actually really speaking to me specifically through this particular passage? Is he telling me something that he wants me to do? Is he telling me something that needs change? And is this for the community or is this just for me? Is this passage consistent with what we already know? Is it consistent with everything we've read in the Bible? Is this consistent with what we know about God? And most importantly, is this consistent with Jesus' teachings? If the answer to that question is yes, then we could be moving on. Community, though, is something that I would really like to focus on today. Because we don't serve God or listen to God in isolation. We do it as part of a community, and not just a community here, but as part of a global community of those who follow the teachings of Jesus. It's a very good thing if we're wondering if God's speaking to us through the words of Jeremiah or anyone else to actually ask other Christians that we know. To actually say to them, look, I think that God really spoke to me through this passage. What do you think? It's important to find people within our own community, be that this community or other Christian communities, other groups of Christians, who you know and you trust, who you think are godly people, shall I say, and say, what do you think? Pray about this. Tell me what you think. We're going to talk more about that shortly. I've lost my clicker. Oh, there it is. We're just going to look at some passages from the Old Testament and apply particularly that first rule to them and say, these are passages which have really spoken strongly to me at different times, still speak strongly to me today, things which I say, yes, God is definitely speaking to me through that. But let's see if we apply that criteria about is this consistent to those passages. First one is from Jeremiah. Surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you future with hope. When you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. And when you search for me, you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. That, particularly that last sentence, has been very important to me over the years. Is this consistent with other scriptures? I would say yes, it definitely is. I would say right through scripture we're getting this image of God as the loving Father and as God who really wants a relationship with human beings. He really wants human beings, all human beings, to be in a right relationship with him. I think, to use an old-fashioned word, he yearns for that. He yearns for relationship, a love relationship with his children. It's also consistent with Jesus's teachings, very definitely. Jesus described the first and the greatest commandment as being, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is very much in line with that. Second one from Isaiah. This is, how many times have I put this up? Does this look terribly familiar? This is absolutely my favourite image of God. This is for me what God is all about. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And again, I would say this is very, very much in line with other scriptures. It's something which, if it's, I say this is speaking to me, yes, this is speaking to me. This is consistent with other scriptures. It's consistent with what Jesus said. I'll put one other up, which is going to be very familiar. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. If I'm reading this and I'm saying, is God speaking to me through this? Is God saying this is how he wants me to be? Well, yes, he is. Absolutely no question about it. The thing about justice actually runs right through Genesis, right through the New Testament. It's a very important. As far as linking up with Jesus's teaching, as far as he was concerned, justice was summed up in the teaching, you will treat other people the same way you'd like to be treated yourself. That's the element of justice. As far as loving mercy, Jesus told his followers to be merciful as your Father is merciful. And as far as humility is concerned, Jesus went on and on and on about humility. And again, he gave himself as an example of somebody who was entitled. We talk about people being entitled today. Jesus really was entitled. He was entitled to be sitting on a very high throne and being served by everybody, but he chose instead to become a servant, live in poverty, die the most humiliating death that the judicial system of that age had devised. So this passage is absolutely in line with other scripture and with other Jesus's teaching. If we move on to the New Testament, prophets and prophecy in the New Testament. One thing is very clear is that people in the New Testament really took Old Testament prophecy seriously. I'm going to give two examples of that. The first one comes from Jesus himself. You hypocrites. If Jesus says you hypocrites, he's almost always talking about the priesthood. In fact, I think he probably is talking to the priesthood. That's not just people like me, that's people like you, because we believe in a priesthood of all believers, don't we? Yes, of course we do. Yes, all right. So he's talking to the priesthood of his day, the people whose job was to encourage people into a right relationship with God, to teach people how to get into a right relationship with God. But these priesthood, boy, did Jesus get stuck into them. They were interested in other things. They were interested in deference that was given to them as being because of their position in society, the nice seats that they were given in the synagogue, the best seats at a dinner table, that kind of thing. That's what they were concerned about. So Jesus said, "These people honour me with." Isaiah. He quotes Isaiah. He says, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." So he's taking a prophecy from Isaiah. The context of Isaiah is that obviously Isaiah is preaching to the Israelites a long time before Jesus' time. There's a thing, excuse me, a quick aside. When you're studying the Bible formally, you get context banged into your head all the time and how important it is. I remember one Old Testament lecturer, not David Cohen, so they brought somebody in from Sydney to do a series of lectures. Once, and this guy said, the first three rules of real estate are location, location, location. The first three rules of exegesis of any scripture are context, context, context. Now, I would like to suggest that when we're actually reading the Bible, if we're reading the Bible to study it, yes, that's right. If we're reading the Bible to hear God speaking to us, context may not always be so important. And Jesus didn't really regard it as important. Because if you look at the context, then Isaiah or Jeremiah was talking to those people in Israel at that time, therefore he can't be talking to us. Can God speak to us through the words of these prophets? Yes, he can, and yes, he does. Not long after Jesus said this, after his death, resurrection, and ascension, you probably all know the story of Pentecost, how the Holy Spirit came on the crowd of disciples, and they all started talking in different languages. And the people gathered to see what was going on, and they said, they're drunk. Peter stood up and he said, they're not drunk, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And then the very first thing he did was to introduce a talk about an Old Testament prophecy. This is it. This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I could talk about this actually for a long time. Just make the obvious point there. Note that. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and down there, even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. There are a considerable number of female prophets in the Bible, referred to as prophets, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But the thing that I really want to point out about Peter quoting Joel is that in Peter's time, in the New Testament times, people were expecting prophecy. They were expecting people in their communities to be prophets and to prophesy. In other words, they were expecting God to speak to their communities through human beings, through various people. They were expecting that. When you get onto Paul, you find this even more clearly stated. This is Paul in 1 Corinthians. Pursue love. He's doing this long spiel about tongues and prophecy. It's 1 Corinthians 14, except for one little bit, is one long argument about this, but this sums him up. Pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. He's putting prophecy as being the number one gift that he wants to see in the churches. Going on, those who speak in a tongue build up themselves. Those who prophesy build up the church. People who hear God speaking to them and pass it on as a message from God, they build up the church. And then he says, now I would like all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. For him, that's the most important thing. Paul also gives some very, very good advice about how a church should manage the prophets that they have. And this is it. Let two or three prophets speak, and let others weigh what is said. Let two or three prophets speak, and let others weigh what is said. This is advice for what you should actually do during one of your church services, by the way. Let two or three prophets speak, and let others weigh what is said. He doesn't make it entirely clear what he means by others, and there's some debate about whether he means others in the church or other prophets. I think probably he means other prophets within the church, which means that a church needs to identify the people within the church who are prophets. They need to identify the people in the church through whom they recognize that God speaks. It doesn't mean that every time that person speaks, everybody's going to say, oh, Fred's spoken. It must be true. It must be what Jesus, it must be what God's saying, because they are told to weigh what a prophet says. The weighing should, of course, be done in love. Just give you a quick example of how I've handled this in my own life. And I may have mentioned this before, but it might be worth just in this context saying again. Right at the end, when I was finishing off my master's at Vaux, I was not in good shape. I was mildly depressed and just basically fed up with everything. Was in the library finishing off this massive, many thousand word dissertation that I was writing to finish off the master's. And a dear, sweet Christian lady happened to be sitting next to me in the library. She said, Peter, I've got a word of prophecy for you. And I thought, great. Good, marvellous, that's all I need. And she said, I just want you to know that God does want you to do a doctorate. I didn't want to hear that. I just did not want to hear that at that moment. I'd had study up to there. I did not want to even think about going on and doing a doctorate. This lady said it was a word of prophecy. I knew that Paul had given this advice, let others weigh what is said. So what I did was I contacted, I think, five people in my own networks, some of whom are here this morning, people who I know to be prayers, people I know to be discerners. And I said, look, this is what this lady said. Could you pray about it and let me know what happens? Which they did. Three of them got back to me. Two of them said exactly the same thing, which is we think that you should pray that if God doesn't want you to do a doctorate, he should make it very clear to you if he doesn't want you to do it. Therefore, the default position was that I was going to do a doctorate. And the third person, knowing that I didn't want to do a doctorate, just said, I think I've got bad news for you. sometime in the next few weeks, I'm actually going to be formally enrolling in the doctorate. And God's going to carry me through it. I am convinced of that. But I could be wrong, but I am at the moment convinced of it. Saying the weighing must be done in love. When you're weighing what somebody else says, they are your brother and sister in Christ, it must be done in love. If you hear a prophet speak, or somebody says, I believe this is what God is saying to me, saying through me, and you think, well, this really is a load of tosh, that's fine, think that. But when you're talking to them, it has to be done in love. Here's a question. Do we have prophets and prophecy in Mount Hawthorne Community Church today? I'm going to suggest that we do. I'm going to give you two examples of people who've been prophets, one personally for me, and the other I would suggest for the community. Prophet Lindy, who is sitting at the back, is somebody who I've known for 35 years, and Prophet Lindy has often been for me someone who God has spoken to me through Prophet Lindy. Just 2 weeks ago, I was talking to Lindy about something which was really weighing me down. And Prophet Lindy said, I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to ask for discernment on this. And I thought, great, this is going to be good. And without going into all the details, after a few days, I contacted Lindy and said, have you had any discernment yet? And she said, yes, I have. But it's a bit fuzzy. But anyway, there's this verse, and this is what I think is important about this verse. The verse was a quote from Jesus, and it was a verse which I know very, very well, and my reaction was, so what? But when I thought about it and prayed about it and read what Lindy had said about it, yes, absolutely, God spoke to me through the words of Lindy at that moment. Please don't form a queue after the service. She's great for me, but, you know, then don't wear her out, all right? The other prophet I'd like to talk about is Prophet Claire, who's over here. This probably going back 9 or 10 years now. I'm not saying that Claire hasn't prophesied since that. It's just this thing was so clear to me at the time. It became what I called, and I think some other people in the church called, Claire's principle. One day when she was talking, she said these words. I can remember the exact words. She said, in this church, the determination of truth is the responsibility of the people who are sitting down, not the person who is standing up. And it's not just true of this church, it's actually true of all churches. The responsibility for discerning what the truth lies with the people who are sitting down, not with the person who is standing up. We could go on and discuss this more, but is this in line with what we already know? I think it is, especially if you really know some of the things that Jesus said. Particularly things like, you have one teacher, you are all equals. He said you are all brothers. But the context is he was talking to a mixed group. He was saying, you are all equals. He is in one place, we are in another. We are all the same. He was telling his disciples this all the time, that we don't have a hierarchy, we are all the same. Therefore, when I stand up to speak, or when anybody stands up to speak, it's not a matter of saying, oh, well, Peter said that, it must be true. I know you never do. You never would. No possibility of that. But good. You know, good. Let's talk about these things, let's think about these things, and let's do this in community. There's a question. How do we actually go about weighing what other people say? If we're talking about God speaking to a community through one person or through a number of people, I think I would like to suggest that we could do it possibly much better than we do it. At the end of services, we often have a Q&A session. We'll have one today, and we'll have some discussion groups probably going on. I think I'm probably speaking on behalf of everyone who's ever spoken here. Because we've got other things. We've got MHCCD, the community discussion group, the community thing which we use for giving news. We don't use it for discussion very much. And when we do use it for discussion, it's often about things which are, shall we say, secular rather than spiritual. We could use that. And the other thing we have is our Facebook group, quite a few people here are members of our Facebook group, and we can use that for discussion as well. I'm sure, as I said, I'm speaking for every single person who's ever spoken here. I would say how excited we would be if late on a Sunday we flicked on MHCCD and we saw that people were actually having a robust discussion about what had been said in the morning. Claire is nodding like nobody's business. You know, that would be absolutely great if we were saying, is God really speaking to us through what this person said, and have a good discussion about it. Think about that. Okay, Prophet Peter has spoken. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yes, this is how we learn. Yes, if everybody says, wasn't that a nice sermon? Yes, it was. No, let's get into robust discussion about it. Again, I'm sure I'm speaking for everyone who speaks here, of saying, not just that I could be wrong, but I must be wrong. And I want people to come back at me and say, no, that can't be right. It says in Hezekiah 17:14 that you're wrong. Now, that's what I want to hear. You know, I've got no idea what Hezekiah 17:14 said. Okay, Prophet Peter has spoken. Let us weigh what is said. What I'm going to do is to get people to form little groups, threes and fours. And there's just two questions which I think might be worth looking at. But before I do that, has anybody really got something on their heart, prophecy or not, that they really feel they must say? Hang on, let's get the microphone working. Trish was first up, I think.
This is a question, Peter. You mentioned a minute ago that wasn't clear whether the bit about weighing up what the prophets said, the others, did that refer to other prophets or other people in the congregation in general? And my question is there a difference? Is the congregation divided into prophets and non-prophets?
Hopefully not. And if so, that would be a very fuzzy dividing line. But I think it is true that some people in this community, in other communities, certainly I think in the way Paul was talking, there are some people, he wants everybody to prophesy. There's no question about that. But I think in any Christian community, you're going to find people who are prayers, who spend a lot of time praying. And those people are often people who have what is called the gift of discernment. That is, they say, oh yeah, this is what God is saying. So we should all be prophesying. Yes, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I asked that question because I went, which one am I?
And sorry?
And then went, oh, I'm a non-prophet. And then went...
You're a non-prophet.
I'm not sure.
Not-for-profit.
Hopefully everybody who is a lesser prophet is moving along. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Michael.
I guess a point of theology or distinction. I was sitting thinking, I have no doubt that God speaks to me, to us, through people in this church, formally up front. I mean, I experience that all the time. In the context, I suppose, particularly of the New Testament, it seems to me, I realise I don't any longer understand the distinction they're using. You know, in Paul's day, they seem to make a clear distinction between prophets and teachers, for example, and other gifts. But yes. in my mind, sort of prophets and teachers are the most connected.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, I find it helpful for this conversation for me is, in that context, what seems to be the distinction, or is it a spectrum, or what? Because formally, I think of people who do what you're doing, loosely I think of that as teaching. But anyway, maybe it doesn't matter. It's a question for me, it's about hearing God speak.
Yes.
The Spirit of God speak individually or collectively, regardless of the label. So I don't know whether...
I wouldn't see it as an important distinction.
Okay.
No, I don't think we need to look around and say, okay, you know, let's tick this list. Who are the prophets? Who are the teachers? Who are the evangelists? No, I don't think we need to do that. I don't think that would be helpful at all. Tyson.
I've got two things. The one is I was given a framework which was around... for me to try and work out, is this about God or is this not about God kind of thing, and what was suggested to me was, is this life-giving or is this not life-giving? Good. And if it's life-giving, then it's from God, as a way to kind of discern. But the other thing for me was that in the definitions you gave, that always sort of seemed to had a religious relationship with God, a message from God kind of a definition. But it strikes me also that a lot of the prophets seem to have a very practical thing, which wasn't about, God has told me that because you're doing blah, 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 then the consequence is this. Whereas, like, for us, it's like the, you know, we tell our kids, if you go and play in the middle of the road, you're going to get run over. Like,
yes.
It's not,
yes.
And that's prophetic,
yes,
actually,
absolutely.
Because it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
It's in the same way that the Old Testament prophets are like, you keep poking the lion, at some point the lion's going to come and get you, you know?
Yep.
So, and it which isn't about, oh, God has put the lion in the place and the lion is, you know, whatever. But it's a very practical thing, you know, in the same way that, you know, people, scientists talk about climate change these days. It's like, well, you know, you keep poking the bear and it's going to bite you, you know? Like,
yeah.
This is, it is prophetic, but it's not because it has some out of the blue, you know, mythical thing that's going to happen because it's unprecedented. It's actually, the prophet seems to me to be someone who's seeing clearly the reality of what's happening and is telling people, this is what you're doing.
Yep.
Be aware of it.
Yep.
Peter, you said in response to Trish that I think something like we have no doubt that Paul wants us to all prophesy.
Yep.
How do we have no doubt? Because I have doubt.
No, I'm just quoting Paul as saying, I want you all to prophesy to the churches he was writing to.
Yep. And that includes us by extension?
Paul would want us all to prophesy, yeah. It's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that, no. But Lindy's going to tell us.
Yes. I don't think that the prophet has to understand what they're saying, because sometimes things come to me, words or passages or something, and I feel that I have to tell someone else, but I don't even really understand what I'm saying. So it's not a kind of awareness of... answer or something.
Yep.
I don't know. Anyway.
So again, it's the person who's receiving the, the prophecy who has to make sense of it and has to determine what the truth is.
Yes, and that's the work of the Spirit, not my work.
Yes, yep. Very much so, yes. Erica.
I think carrying on from what Tyson was saying, you know, pointing out the natural consequences of something, I think there's a role, I think, of someone who's, like, I guess not in that situation, being able to look at it and identify things that people in it can't always see. For example, you know, I talk to a lot of women victims of violence and, you know, they've now left. But, you know, I had a woman just this week saying to me, even when I was being hit, I was at that time still holding out hope that I could fix things. And often I see that role of the prophet is to be able to point out to someone who, you know, can't see beyond that situation and go, actually, this is really bad. This is not working. If you stay doing what you're doing, and it's a bit like that climate change, you know, people from the outside going, you might not realise this is happening because you're right in the middle of that situation. Sometimes that someone else from outside can help you to see what you can't see. Even though you're there, you're not realising the impact and you're not realising that kind of slippery slope of stuff. Sometimes that outside perspective helps you to go, oh my goodness.
Really good. Really good, Erica. These are the questions that I was going to suggest we look at in groups. No, we will hear from Rose. promise you, I wouldn't dream of not hearing from Rose. Rose has also been a prophet to me in times past. Yeah, yeah. But just these are the questions that I was going to ask small groups to look at. See that top one? Why does God speak through prophets? I think Prophet Erica has just given us a very good answer. That when we're in those situations, we can't see outside them. And God brings somebody else in along, and suddenly, yes, it starts to make sense, which is exactly what happened to me this week with Prophet Lindy. Sorry, Prophet Rose, go on.
It's only a small thing. Yes to Erica, yes to Lindy, yes to Tyson. Just following on from Tyson, just another slant again, is that it also takes a certain amount of courage to talk about the elephant in the room. And that's another way of doing it.
Yeah, that's the role of the prophet, you mean?
Yeah, that everybody might, but there's fear and there's all sorts of other stuff that stops people saying stuff, but it's a real gift when somebody does actually say what other people are thinking but don't know how to deal with.
Yes, yeah. Of course, I mean, when traditionally when a prophet has come along and pointed out the elephant in the room or whatever it is, the reaction is not always, oh, thank you for that. That's really helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else? Well, we got 10 minutes. Would you like to split up into small groups and have a go at these? I sense wild excitement. No, I don't sense wild excitement. So we just wrap it up there. You can make a summary comment. Just hold on a second.
The thing that's come together for me today is, I think, when I hear the word prophecy, too often the emphasis is on what's being spoken, as opposed to the role of the prophet is to assist either individual or collective discernment.
Yes.
So it's the link. It's the linkage of the speaking, or whatever the prophet does, to the purpose of the speaking is not to be clever with the words.
Absolutely.
But to equip, assist in discernment.
Yes, yeah.
That's the connection that I've found really helpful today.
To serve, in other words.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Thank you, one and all. Back to Fleur.